Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry, guys. My phone was on mute. And I thank Sister Joyce Brown for calling and letting me know. Hallelujah. So I'll start over again. I started by saying it's Wednesday night. It's another Wednesday night that God has allowed us to come together to explore His Word. Another night that God has allowed us to come together in fellowship in the Word of God, one with another. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to be able to go before His people. And I come to tell you tonight, it's not because I'm so good. It's not because I do everything right. But God chooses whoever He will to do whatever He wants. You see, God is only looking for vessels that will answer the call. And oh yes, I'm sure He's calling each and every one of us, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God is calling on all of us, because in these trying times, He needs people on the battlefield. There's a serious war going on. So I thank God, and I thank each and every one of you who have taken the time out of your schedule to come to explore the Word of God together. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Our lesson tonight is we should always put God first, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, if it's good or it's bad or it's ugly. We have to put God first in everything we do. But what we normally do is we start doing what we want to do. And then when it gets all messed up, then we call on the name of God for Him to fix it up. But let us be conscious and always put God first. Lesson is coming from Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 24th through the 34th verse. At this time, we're going to have a song, and our own minister, Elyria Mack, is going to bring us this song, and then she's going to pray and bring us to the throne of grace. And after that, we're going to explore the Word of God together. Sister Mackey, your mic is open.
In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. This rock is Jesus. grips the solid rock. In times like these, yes, oh God, we need the Bible. In times like these, we can't afford to be idle. You and I have to be sure, be very sure. I'll anchor and grip the solid rock in times like these. I have a Savior in times like these. I have an anchor. I am sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and is gripping to the solid. The solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he is. He's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the
us power, oh God,
to overcome evil, O God, to triumph, Lord God, to live victorious, O God. You are our joy. You are everything that we need, O God. And God, I ask that you would open up the minds and the eyes of our understanding tonight, O God, that we will comprehend and receive and be able to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, through your word, O God, because it's your word that cleanses us. It's your word that purifies us. It's your word that sanctifies us. God, Hebrews said, your word is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And for that, we are grateful, and we are thankful. And, God, we just want to hear, and we will hear a word from you tonight, Lord God, because you sent forth your word, and your word healed us, oh God. And we thank you, and we know that your word will go out, and it will not return back void, but it will accomplish what it was set forth to do. And we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name honor, praise, and glory. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank Minister Elyria Mackey for that beautiful song and them wonderful words that she prayed. Prayer changes thing, y'all. Prayers is the keys that unlock the doors. Prayers when you communicate and talk to God. Tell him about all that's going on in your life, your desires, your petitions. Prayers when we speak to God. And tonight we're going to study the word of God. The song has been sung, the prayers has been lifted up, and now it's time for God to speak to us through his word. Open up your hearts and your mind that you can receive what the Spirit has to say. Use me, Holy Spirit. I decrease as you increase. Have your way with this program on tonight. The title of our lesson is, We Should Always Put God First. We're coming from the book of Matthew, which is one of the gospels in the Bible, the first gospel, the 6th chapter, the 24th to the 34th verse. I asked Minister Elyria to sing that song because it was so pressing in my heart because, you know, the best I could tell you is you have to be on God, on guard, because Satan is busy. Satan is running rapid in the land. And that's why I say we need a savior. So I'm going to do a little background on what's going on today because I didn't know how to get past it. Because it's in all of our faiths, it's in our homes, it's in our backyards, it's affecting our family. It's affecting our church congregation, fellowship. It's affecting so many things in our lives. And none of this is caused by God because God, well, I don't know if God orchestrated, but we know that most of these things that's happening is from Satan. So I want to just say for a little background tonight, an opening. In the world we live in today, it seemed that every man doing everything and anything that seemed right in his own eyes, as if they afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. You see, there's a lot of human error from the top leaders to the bottom ones in control. You know, this is caused by a lack of godly wisdom. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that wisdom can only come from God. You can't get a degree of wisdom from a university. You can't buy it. You can't get it from your mama. You have to ask God. But look like no one is asking. Then there's blatant, outright injustice all around the world, not just in Louisiana or New York City. It's all around the world. And the people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's causing much unrest from the people. You see, the people has been brutalized in the hands of the police. And it's so ironic because the people pays the police salary. And they pay them to protect and to serve, not to be beaten or killed. And this is nothing new. It has been happening so long that everyone has looked the other way. Then there are deadly pestilence in the land, killing many people, but most of them are minorities, or people with low incomes, or no hospitalization, as if only certain lives matter. I live in the city of New Orleans, and many areas in our city flooded today from just a few hours of rain. No, there was no hurricane. There was no storm in sight. And the people that runs city that should keep the city from flooding has the audacity to be asking for a raise. Go figure. There are many people today that is driven by the spirit of entitlement. You see, while they are natural God-given rights, but a spirit of entitlement is an attitude that flows from the heart and idolatrous humanity. So I took and I looked at 2 Timothy 3:2. It says, for men shall be lovers of themselves, coveters, boasters, proud, doing anything when someone can hold a neck on a person with their hands in a pocket and look so unconcerned, puffed up like a turkey as if he has the right to do it. People are blasphemers. They disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. You know, but we have to look at everything that's going on, because everything that happened is already common to man, and there's nothing new under the sun. But the word of God tells us that there will be days like these. And because of that, God has given us a moral compass, which is the Holy Bible, to guide us through. And I went to find something that we could hold on to in these times. Everything I said is real. So you say, what do we do? Everything is real. So I looked in the Bible and I went to James 2:5, 2 chapter 1, verses 2-5. And this is a word of consolation that is given us through the word of God. It say, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, which mean many temptations. And temptations can also be defined as trials and tribulations. He say, count it all joy when ye fall. He didn't say if you fall. So it's like I say, it's not nothing new. He said, but knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we have to be patient, y'all. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting for nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, what I was talking about up there, let him ask of God, that given to all men. If you don't have wisdom, you haven't asked. And if you haven't accepted Christ, you're not his child. And these are the privileges of the children of God. But if you accepted Christ as your Savior and you want wisdom, he said, ask. He give it to all men liberally and unbridled. He don't hold it back or issue out a little bit. He said, and unbridled it not, and it shall be given unto him. You see, we are in a world, but we're not of this world. We are living in a kingdom of God that God has established for his children on earth. So I come to tell you tonight, it's never about the issues that life presents to us, because we're not in control. So we have to take what comes our way, but it's not so much of what comes our way, but who we go through it with. And I want you to be conscious that God is in control. I told you that the devil is running rampant. God has given us in his word in the book of Ephesians to dress yourself in the armor of God, that you could stand against the schemes of the devil. There's a lot of scheming going on. If you ain't paying attention and you're not word up and you're not wearing your armor, you could lose this battle. You could be taken so far down that you can't figure out how to come up. You could get so overwhelmed that you could hardly think straight. And it's real, y'all. But God knows what is happening in his world. This is God's world. The world belongs to God. The earth and everything therein belongs to God. God is not sleeping. He haven't left for taking vacation. He do not deal with times out. And just like he was yesterday and the day before that and the years before that, all the way back to the Old Testament and even before the foundation of the world, he has never changed. So the good news is, I want you to know that God knows what's happening in his world today. And he is in total control. He has given us all a measure of faith. So I tell you tonight, hold on. You might not have faith like Bishop whoever. You might not have faith that you think is as strong as Sister whoever. But he has given all of us a measure of faith. So I encourage you tonight, just hold on to the confession of the measure of faith that you have. And he has given us his word. I encourage you tonight to read it. He has given us his spirit. I encourage you to cooperate with him, because he's leading and guiding and trying to comfort you. But you got to know his voice. And then you have to cooperate and submit. And he has given us his son. Believe on him. And how you do it. And then you trust him. And that joy that James speaks about, I come to tell you tonight that it could be achieved in the midst of all the storms of life. But you have to hold on. And he said, be patient. He's saying your joy will be filled. That's a little introduction or background, and just something was placed in my heart So we're going to go into the scriptures now. In Matthew 6:24 through verse 25, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, worrying about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" This scripture is telling us, you know, stop sweating the small stuff. With everything that's going on around us today, they have so many people that wanted the city to open back up so they could get their health fixed. And if you're social distancing, you're not supposed to be leaving out just to be leaving out. And they're worrying about this and they're worrying about that. This is not a time to sweat the small stuff because you got bigger fish to fry. You see, mammon in the New Testament of the Bible is commonly thought to mean money, material wealth, or any entity that promised wealth and is associated with the greedy pursuit to gain it. Even in these times, people are trying to figure out how to overcharge people and how to get over on people and stealing from people to get money and doing all types of things. Many of the things that's happening in our White House is being set up so that those in charge could get some money. The greed. Many in the White House, they gave a stimulus bill and they gave the citizen who pays the tax $1,200 and gave $10 billion to large corporations. The rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. Compare $10 billion to $1,200. Do the math. You see, Webster describes mammon as riches, wealth, or gods, or riches. See, they made it their god. But God is in control, I come to tell you. You see, Jesus here was to show a powerful contrast between the worship of the material world and the worship of God. And if you take and look at 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6 through 10 verse, it sums it all up. The scripture says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." I'm not telling you to be the content without doing something or being slowful. But once you done did your best, that's all you could do. Be content. Don't allow Satan to pump you up to go try to do something that's not right to get more. Verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can't carry nothing out. Believe it. And having food and raiment lets us be therewith content." First of all, you got to realize, let me tell you how contentment can happen. You first got to realize and understand that everything is not for everybody. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care how much you make. Everybody will not be rich. Everybody may not drive a Mercedes. Why do you think they make so many cars? You see? And if you are trying to keep up with the Joneses, you're going to have a problem because that knocks contentment out of the window because the covetousness spirit has taken over you. So I'm just saying. But they will be rich. Those who want to be rich, they'll fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So the love of money brings you into other things because you might have more money. First of all, you're going to be probably proud, which is the world definition in the Bible of the world. It says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you see, more you get, the more you, you know, get proud. You get prideful and you know, you want to do more things because you got more money. You see, the temptation and a snare and the too many foolish and hurtful lusts is going to come with it. There's no sin that don't come with attachments with it, which drown men in destruction and partitions, and that means eternal hell. And 10 say, for the love of money is the root of evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. You know how you turn away and turn your back on God when you're doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when and why you want to do it. And you get the big head, pierce themselves with many sorrows. You know, you want the money and you cheating everybody. You don't know when that playhouse is going to fall. You don't know when all of the stuff you are doing that's not right in the first place going to catch up with you. The Bible says everything done in the dark come to the light. So we have to be careful what we do for money and the limits we are willing to go for it, because it have a lot of attachments with it, believe me, especially when it's not done right. And even when we make everything we do honest, but we make enough to get a Range Rover, but we want a different kind of car. God is just asking us to be reasonable, because you get that car, now you can't pay the note. He said, before you do anything, it is be wise to count the cost. You see, these scriptures tonight is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He had just taught about treasures in heaven. He said, lay not up yourselves treasure up on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither do moths or rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible is always letting us know that only those things done for Christ will last. And you might say, Sister Diane, I'm saved. And I say, if you accepted Christ with your whole heart, yes, you are saved. And then I would have to ask you, you saved, now what? You see, God has given us instruction for what he want to do. First, love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, so many people is going to be saved not doing the will of the Father. We don't achieve, and some of the rewards we have, we'll lose them. This Bible teaches us, be conscious about losing your reward. It should be the desire of every Christian to wanna, when they meet God face to face, when they sit at the feet of Jesus, that he would say, my good and faithful servant, well done. Come and get your reward. The Bible says when Jesus come back in the rapture, he's coming with his rewards in his hands. Some people say, I'm not concerned about the rewards long as I get there. slothfulness that he asks us not to participate with either. But that's the way it is. And if we look at the next scriptures, it say, behold, the fowl of the air, verse 26. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? 28. And why take ye thoughts for raiment, which is clothes? He said, consider the lily and the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil, which means work not, neither do they spin. Come on, y'all. 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in beauty like one of these. 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven. Y'all know that lilies and all of these things and plants, they have seasons. And, you know, they die and a new season come. And some flowers, some plants, soon they bloom, they die. They had that purpose. So he's saying those type of things can be here today and gone tomorrow. And if God so clothes the grass, y'all know God keep growing y'all grass. You complain about the prices of getting your grass cut. Look how God grows that grass. I don't know about you, but ain't nobody watering my grass unless it rains. But that's God. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And 32, for after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. And when they're speaking of the Gentiles, they're talking about unsaved people. You see, he's saying people who don't have a God, they have to look and get everything on their own, and they might not be looking at the things of God, you know, with face value. He say, but that's how the Gentiles do. He said, for your heavenly Father know what ye have need of these things. And I could, you know, wrap this up real quick about that section. You see, here God is letting us know how he provides provisions for everything he created, his entire creation, even the just and the unjust. You see, the birds of the air are fed. Come on, y'all. I have birds that had put nests on my porch on the top of my column, and the bird, you know, put the eggs there, and every now and then I see the eggs, you know, the mama come and set on the eggs, and then the eggs crack, and I could hear the little birds chirping, and if I look, I could see their little heads. And every now and then, the mama come with something in her mouth, and she give it to them. God has made a way for everybody, and has provided everything that everybody needs. You don't see birds fighting over food. Well, the lions and tigers, you know, they sometimes do it, but I'm just, you know, giving this example. You see, the birds in the air fed, the lilies in the field don't twirl, neither spin the sorrel. You know, in a field, open field, they got ain't nobody tilling the land. But look at that beauty. You see, we belong to God. And Philippians 4:19 says, God and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You remember that time you didn't have no money and some kind of way the light bill got paid? You remember when you thought you was at your wit's end and you was about to run out of food and somebody gave you some food or money to get the food? I said, God said, I'll supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. And for his food, I don't know about none of you, any of you, but I can miss a lot of meals before I think anything happened to me. United States have the most obese people, I think, in the world. So it don't look like nobody's starving. You see, once we accept Jesus as our Savior, he becomes our provider, and we have no need to worry as the unsaved, which have all right to worry. You see, because they have no one to call on in times of trouble. Whatever go on in their life, they have to figure it out. They don't have a God. They don't have a Savior. They don't know what the Word of God says. And he's telling us as Christians who have accepted Christ, why would we act like that? Some of us worry so much as if we never heard the word God. We should always look to God. And this is what Satan doing. And John lets us know that Satan would do it. Because John 10:10 says, the thief come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus said, I have come, hallelujah, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, all of these are the promises and the provisions of God. But you have to believe it to achieve it. And then once you achieve it, you can receive it. You got to put in the work, y'all. In the title of the lesson, like I told you, always put God first. I told you he gave you the word of God. Read it. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. He gave you your son. Trust him. And 33 says, 33 and 34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Jesus talking, y'all. Seek ye first. Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, telling us how to live and what you would do to have success. See, Jesus knew his time was running out because his ministry of teaching and walking and showing and everything was only 3 years. So he's telling us, if Jesus said it, can we believe it? What about if we just totally began to believe the word of God? And especially the red writing, because that's when Jesus is speaking. So let's look at what he's telling us right now. He said, but seek ye first. Now, he done already showed us what he do for the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all of that. And he made us conscious that they don't work, but yet they're taken care of. But he's telling us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek me first. Take care of me. Hallelujah. And then I'll take care, and I'm going to take care of you. And 34 say, take no thought for tomorrow. This is the good one, y'all. You know how some people sit up all night long worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? For tomorrow shall take thought for itself, the things of itself. Look what it says. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It said tomorrow's going to come. First of all, it ain't promised to nobody. Second, when tomorrow comes, it's going to have its own issues. So don't worry about tomorrow. Make it through the day. Tomorrow is going to have its own issues. And it just seems so true because today, every time we turn on the news, it's something else. And we go to sleep and we wake up and it's something else. So he said it's going to have the evil of its own. You see, the meaning of these verses is as direct as it sounds. We are to seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. How many people y'all know that's Christian and they more worldly than, I don't know, they a lot worldly. Primarily, it means we are to seek the salvation that is inherent in the kingdom of God. See, if we say we live in this earth, on this earth, but we not of this earth, but we live in the kingdom of God that God has established for us on earth, we need to figure out how should we live in the kingdom of God on earth. What are the requirements for that citizenship? What is the duties of the citizen? Come on, y'all. We follow the rules of the United States of America. We follow the rules of the city of New Orleans. When you go to school, you follow the rules of the school. And we are living in the kingdom of God and never maybe paid attention to the rules. Never even thought about the, are there rules in living in the kingdom? Because you see, we have the world, and then there's the kingdom of God. We know what the world is all about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So what is about in the kingdom? You know, when I understood that, you know, sometime I would always tell God, God, teach me how to be a good citizen in the kingdom. And if in the kingdom of God on earth is all Christian, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, imagine if every Christian in the kingdom would do their part. The kingdom would be so light, there would be no cheating each other. And you might know how to fix my air conditioning, and you're going to charge me because you got to live, but you ain't going to try to just overcharge me. Come on, y'all. You know, a long time ago when somebody had potatoes, if they did had a garden of potatoes, when them potatoes come up, they give everybody some. So I know I could eat and I didn't have to spend money. Kingdom living, y'all. But we are so far away from that till it ain't funny. But you need to figure out, you need to realize first that you are in the kingdom of God. And you should try to figure out what are the rules and a regulation in the kingdom that I can achieve that can please God and give him glory. And then, you know, love on one another. There should be safety in the kingdom of God, and yet some people has gotten hurt and got hurt in the church. Christians, you know, backbiting on Christians. That shouldn't be in the kingdom. So I'm gonna give y'all a little what shouldn't be. I can start you off with that. That should not be. Not willing to lend a helping hand. Not concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your only motive is to take, hallelujah, from them. That's not kingdom living. But I say it, the kingdom of God, we should seek the salvation because it's greater than world's riches. And I'm not saying that we should neglect our reasonable and daily duties necessary to sustain our lives. God wants us to have and take care of yourself. If you can afford a Mercedes-Benz, get you a Mercedes-Benz if that's the desires of your heart. I'm not saying none of that. I'm not saying what you shouldn't have, but what you do have, you should be able to afford it. That's what God is saying, because when you can't, you get into trouble. And it may make you want to do something to get something illegal. Or it could be legal. You could just take on, you know, more hours at work, and then you're neglecting your home. You see, but as Christians, there should be a difference in our attitude. So let me go back a little bit, because that was the tail end. That we should not neglect our reasonable and daily duties necessary to sustain our lives. But as Christians, there should be a difference in our attitude towards them. If you are taking care of the things of God, seeking his salvation, using the word of God as your moral compass, living in obedience to God, and sharing the good news of the kingdom to invite them in. People look at the kingdom of God here on earth and say, it don't even make no sense, because, you know, they can't even tell the ones in the kingdom and the ones from the world. We got to stop compromising our faith, and just, even though being Christian, let anything go. But if we start taking care of God's business, I guarantee he will take care of your business as he promised. And if that's the arrangement, why are you worrying? You may ask the question, tell if I'm seeking God first. Well, number one, you got to check where you primarily spend all of your energy. Is all your time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish? Think about it. Or is you serious in the service of God? The result of which live on through eternity. Only what you do for Christ, the things you're doing on earth for Christ, going to go with you in eternity. Everything else is not. Believers who have learned to truly put God first may then rest in this holy dynamic. And when you begin to rest and you done put him first, all the other things will be given to you as well. Remember, God has designed it that you will never know who you are until you know who your maker is. And you see, that's why this world is so evil and people doing anything, because there are so many people looking for love in all the wrong places. And they're using a world standard as the guide. You know, the world tell you, you know, to be a sexy woman, have half of your body out. The world tells us, you know, you don't have that much value if you don't own the house. So everybody chasing American dream. Owning a house ain't for everybody. You might get the house and can't pay the tax and the insurance. Remember, man will let you down most, if not all the time. But let the Holy Ghost become your guide, and I guarantee that he will take you to places you never dreamed of. God has a specific, hallelujah, plan with a specific reason in a specific season, a plan with a reason for a season. Hallelujah. But you must seek him first. And get yourself in position to receive all that God has for you, because that's how he planned it. And remember, what's for you is for you. And be conscious and stay in your lane in times like these. But God has a master plan that he designed before the foundation of the world, and he included you with an expected end. Figure it out. And once you do, you can rest in what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. And then one of your requirements is, and why we were created, to give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, which is only our reasonable service. And that's our program for tonight. That's our program for tonight. God is truly in the blessing business. Hold on, y'all. Everything that's going on, whatever is bothering you, whatever is weighing you out, put God in it first. Don't do what you do and leave God out, and then when it all messed up, you go to God. Put him first. You do it the way you want, and then you figure you don't have no way out, and you want your emergency to become God's urgency. And it's just not there. God said, I got you. He said, look, just bring it to me. Bring it to me first, and, you know, we're going to figure it out. That's simple, and we can't even do that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. If anyone would like to make a comment, anyone would like to add something, if you want to take something away, if you want to, whatever you want to do, God has given us this forum to talk with one another, because you may have something to say that I didn't say, and the person really gets it from the way you say it or how you say it. Or you might express some of your feelings and they realize they have the same feelings. So they realize that it's not unreasonable that they're not the only one. So if anyone would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button. If no one have any comments or concerns, you want to give encouragement, if no one have anything to say, what I'm going to do is ask that somebody pray, and it'll take us out for the program tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again on next Wednesday. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining in with us tonight. And I want you to know that God's got this, y'all. He gave us a Bible. Let's read it. He gave us his son. Let's trust him. He gave us his spirit. Let us cooperate with him. So at this time, would anybody like to pray? If not, I'll do a benediction. All right, our benediction for tonight is one that I love dearly, that I believe in, and it's my desire for all of us. My benediction comes from the Bible, and it's in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. And the scripture says, and Peter is about to die, and he's writing, and that's the last thing he wrote that's printed in the Bible. And what Peter asks is that we all grow. You're saved now. I'm saved now. What? Grow. Grow in the grace that God has extended to us, and the knowledge of God that we get through the Holy Bible, which is Christ Jesus. He said, not just sometime. He said, but for now. And forevermore. That's our benediction. Study to grow in grace. And that's it for tonight. All I can say is God be with you until we meet again. And God loves you, and so do I. Thank you, and good night, and be blessed till we meet again.